Well, this morning we're going to carry on with our series on how to handle the seasons of life, and today we're going to talk about how to go through the season of parenting. What a difference 35 years makes. In 1987, we had long hair. In 2022, we're still longing for hair. In 1987, we're hoping for a BMW. In 2022, we're hoping for a BM. I didn't write this. I'm just reading it. In 1987, we were looking at the Rolling Stones. In 2022, we've got kidney stones. In 1987, we're being called in the principal's office. In 2022, we wish we could be called into the principal's office. In 1987, how can you tell I'm dyslexic? It was the peace sign. In 2022, it's the bathroom sign. 1987, parents begging you to get a haircut. In 2022, you're wishing you needed a haircut. In 1987, it was about passing the driver's test. In 2022, it's about passing the hearing test. Boy, you guys are tough this morning. Today, we're going to continue on with our series on how to grow in the seasons of life. The Bible says that children are a gift from the Lord. Every one of us wants to be good parents. In fact, I got a text this morning from my children just saying, you know, just grateful for the influence that just was brought to tears as I was reading the text. There's not a mom or dad here today that doesn't want to be the best they possibly can. That may be for many different reasons. But perhaps your parents were neither there for you, nor do you vow to be like them, or that you had a great childhood and wanted to provide the same for your children. Holding that little one in your arms for the very first time may have been a reality check that now you are responsible for more than just yourself. What about children today? Listen to this statement. Wonder where it comes from and what time it came from. The children now love luxury. They have bad manners, contempt for authority. They show disrespect for elders and love chattering in the place of exercise. Children are now tyrants, not the servants of their households. They no longer rise when elders come into the room. They contradict their parents. They chatter before company. They gobble up dainties at the table. They cross their legs and tyrannize their teachers. That was from Socrates in ancient Greece. Has much changed? I hope so. What do kids need most from parents? What is it the kids need from their parents? We do the best we can, right? There are certainly new challenges for our children today that our children and grandchildren are facing that we never had to. Today I want to share with you 7 things that your kids need, our kids need from us, our grandkids need from us. And these 7 things are the 7 things God does to you as your Heavenly Father. And He wants you to do these 7 things to the people that you see in your life, not just your children, but all the people around you. So are you ready to go? Let's look at the first one. Number one, kids need compassion. More than anything else, kids need unbelievable love, unconditional love. There needs to be a place where they're accepted, warts and all. What is compassion, friends? Compassion is a combination of love and understanding. Compassion is where I know everything about you and I still like you. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 said, practice loving each other, for love comes from God. Love is not natural. You have to learn to love. You learn it by practicing. And what a better place to practice than the people you're forced to live with all of your life. If you can learn to love your family, you can learn to love anybody. Why is that? Because you don't have to live in close contact with anybody else as much as you do your family. So if you can win there, you can win outside there. It's easy to love people at a distance. But when you're with them all the time, you don't always get along. When you practice love in your family, you're learning how to really love. There's 3 ways to express love, folks. A lot of times we love our kids, but we don't express it the way that they can get it. Children understand love in 3 different ways. The first one is affection. They need lots of hugs and touches and kisses. They need to feel it. Be nice to your kids because they're going to choose your nursing home. Some of you will get that tomorrow. Secondly, affirmation. They need to hear it. A lot of dads have a problem with this. We need to tell them every day, more than once a day, we need to affirm them and build them up with love. The third thing is attention. One of the greatest gifts that you can give somebody is to listen to them. And when you look at that person in the eye, even at the level of a child, you're saying, you matter to me. You're valuable to me. I want to hear what you have to say. You're important to me. You're showing compassion, the same kind of compassion that God shows you. You're to show that to others. More than anything else, kids obviously need our love. We all know this one, but there's a myth that says all you need is love. That's not true. Many parents think if I just love my children, then they'll turn out right. That's not true. I can give you tons of examples that loving your children is not enough to help them to be growing emotionally and spiritually and physically healthy. The second thing you need to give your children is kids need counsel. They need direction. They need advice. They need wisdom. Study after study has shown that the number one indicator of successful children, kids who grow up to be successful adults, is a stable value system. That's counsel. Kids who grow up knowing, well, this is right and this is wrong, they need to have boundaries. They need to have a solid value system. Today, kids are crying out for counsel. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 3, verse 7 is on your notes, and it's on the outline outside or up on the screen. You must teach these commandments to your children and talk about them when you are at home or out for a walk at bedtime and the first thing in the morning. Four things God says from this verse. You might want to circle some of these things. The first one is you. Circle it. You must teach these commands. It's not the government's, not the school system, not social clubs. He's talking about parents. It's the parents' duties to teach moral values. Today we act like we expect the government to teach them or the schools to teach them. We shouldn't be surprised that the schools don't teach them these values. It's not the school's job. It's the parents' job. Secondly, it says you must. Circle must. It's not optional. If I'm not doing this, if I'm not being a very good parent, if I'm slacking off in my job and I'm not teaching moral values, then I'm depending on the school or the youth group or the church, whatever good it may be, to do my job. That's not their job. Number three, you must teach. And notice where it says to teach. When you're at home, out for a walk, bedtime, first thing in the morning, all the time. If you're a parent, you're always teaching your children. You're always teaching something. If you're sitting there watching TV, you're teaching something. You're modeling because these little eyes are watching you 24 hours a day. And here's what I know about kids. You can't snow them. Number four, fourth thing that God says here. And it says that what you teach, look at what it says, you must teach these commandments. Commandments. He didn't give us 10 suggestions, he gave us 10 commandments. It's not a matter of these, think about these things if you want to, it's do it. Chuck Colson, the former henchman of President Nixon, who got wonderfully saved while he was in prison, said that he had dinner with a family in Washington, D.C., and the guy was the head of some big organization. And he said this, we're trying to get the Ten Commandments removed off the walls of every schoolroom. We're wanting to liberate the kids. The same man, 20 minutes later in his conversation, began to complain that the number one problem in schools today was theft. They were stealing things from the school. Colson said this, maybe we should put a sign on the walls that says, thou shalt not steal. We're reaping what we sow. You cannot parent in your spare time. You cannot raise quality children in your spare time. What you do is have kids and then, you know, you're off to do other things, other goals, other agendas, and think that we can do this on the side. No. If you have children, God has called you to be a parent. If you blow it in that area, then you've blown your major responsibility in this season of life. There are many other seasons for you to do other things. But the moment you decide to conceive and have children, you make a commitment. And it wasn't just a one-year commitment. Ask any grandparent. It helps when these kids grow with compassion and counsel. Number three, listen carefully to this one. Don't misunderstand what it means. Kids need correction. They need correction because they make mistakes. They're not perfect children. They need discipline, accountability. They need training. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 6 says, "The Lord disciplines those he loves." If you love someone, you're going to care enough about them to correct them. Proverbs 13, 24 says, "If you refuse to discipline your child, it proves that you don't love them." That's what God says. I didn't say that. God said that. Proverbs 19, 18, "Correct your children while there still is hope. Do not let them destroy themselves." It says that if we don't correct our children, then we're helping them fail in life. I'm setting them up for failure if I don't correct them. You're developing habits that will tear them down. The Bible says that you are to correct three ways. Write these three words down, friends. Quickly, calmly, and sparingly. Quickly, calmly, and sparingly. You need to understand the difference between punishment and discipline. We are to treat our children the way God treats us. If you are a child of God and you've trusted God, you're a believer and you ask Christ into your life, then when you sin, God doesn't punish you because all the punishment was paid for on the cross. God doesn't have to punish you because Jesus took the punishment. God does not punish Christians for their sins. He does, however, discipline them. And that's a big difference. You see, the purpose of punishment is to inflict a penalty. The purpose of discipline is to promote growth. The focus of punishment is towards the past, what you've done wrong. The focus of discipline is towards the future, what you can be. The attitude behind punishment is anger. The attitude behind discipline is love. I'm going to correct you. I'm going to help you get on the right path. God doesn't want you to punish your kids. He wants you to discipline them. In fact, when you correct in anger, it always produces one thing: resentment. What God says is to do is to correct, not looking at the past, but looking at the future. Let's make sure it isn't done the next time. Let's focus on the future, because it's redemptive, not destructive. Some of you are fine Seinfeld fans. Listen to what Seinfeld says. "My parents took me to Amish country, to see a bunch of people that have no cars, no TV, no phone." You go, "So what? Neither do I." He wants to see a whole community that's been grounded. Okay. That's the way you punish the kids after you've seen the Amish country. Listen to what he says. "All right, son, get up to your room. That's it. I've had it. You're Amish, young man. For the rest of the weekend, did you hear me? Amish. Don't come down until you've made some noodles and raised a barn." Proverbs 19:18. Correct your children while there is still hope, and do not let them destroy themselves. The key to the difference many times between punishment and discipline is your attitude. Am I doing this in anger? If you're disciplining to vent your feelings so that you feel better, then that's a clue that it's not discipline. It's punishment. You're just letting off steam and you're retaliating. If your irritation has gotten so high that you have to justify that irritation by blowing up, then that's not discipline. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 says, "Do not use harmful words. Use only helpful words that build up." Number four, you okay? Kids need confidence. We laughed about the differences between 1987 and 2022, but the reality is that life has gotten a lot tougher for kids today than when we were kids. Man, I used to be able to hitchhike to school when I missed the bus. Wouldn't dare try that now. But I didn't have to live with social media. They live under pressures that we have never even considered. They live with greater expectations than our parents had for us. This is a different generation. Ask any president of a Christian college and they'll tell you kids today have a lot tougher than they did even 10 years ago. Colossians 3:21 says this, don't scold your children so much that they become discouraged and quit trying. Are you an unpleasant parent? Is it so easy to look at the negative things in your children's life? Is the cup half full or is the cup half empty? What do you see? If they get C's, do you want B's? If they get B's, do you want A's? If they get A's, you want straight A's? Finally, the Bible says kids will just give up. Unpleasable parents, listen clearly, produce insecure kids. 1 Corinthians 13:7 says, if you love someone, you will always believe in him and always expect the best of him. Many parents think if I balance it out, if I give equal amount of positive to the negative, then it will be okay. No. You need to give about 10 praises to every negative that you give. Why? Because the negative is what you remember. If you were to get 10 compliments and one criticism, which one would you go home and remember? No question. When I was pastoring full-time, there were many times when I'd get 10 cards, encouragement cards, saying, you know, your message helped me today, thank you so much. And I'd get one that said, you're off the wall, and guess which one I thought about all week? It's only human. Every time you give a negative, a correction, you need to give about 10 positives on the other side of the scale to balance it out. They're not equal. You've got to overemphasize the positive because you inevitably will do the negative. Number five, this is so good. The kids need celebration. The party was always at our home. It was called Grand Central Station. In fact, when we left Windsor, we actually got a sign from one of our staff members called Hotel Claxton. You need to have fun just at home. Is your home filled with laughter? Look what it says in Ecclesiastes 11, verse 8. People ought to enjoy every day of their lives, no matter how long they live. What crazy things have you done with your kids lately? Have you made them eat strange food that you made? Have you made them eat green eggs and ham? I like that, kid. We would do some crazy things. I remember putting our kids into a diesel rabbit. Now, this is going to date me. And drive to Florida from Mississauga for $61. Oh, I wish I could fill my tank for $61. No iPad, no iPod. Just sitting on a beach frying. I remember when we got to Miami Beach and we were trying to find parking and pay for the parking, and our kids were all under four. And we were carrying the stuff for the beach, and we thought each other had one, and we looked around, our kids were gone. We had to go and find them. That was not a fun thing to do. If you're not having fun with your kids at home, you're not celebrating. Then don't be surprised that they don't want to spend time at home. If you don't have fun with your kids and really enjoy them, don't be surprised when they grow up and move out. They don't want to come back very often. They won't remember it was a place where we could go and have fun. You need not to just to endure your kids. You need to enjoy your kids. And there are two other things that kids have to have if they're going to be emotionally healthy, emotionally and spiritually. Number six, kids need challenges. How do you teach your children responsibility? There's one way. You give them opportunity. You trust them with responsibility. Nothing develops us faster than trusting them with responsibility, giving up control. Will they make mistakes? What do you think? Absolutely. You did too when you were growing up. Will they sometimes be irresponsible when you give them the keys to the car? I can tell you from experience, yes, they will. But if you hold on to responsibility, you're actually hurting your children. The goal of parenting from the moment they're born is to move them from parental control in the early years to self-control in the middle years, to understanding God's love and his plan for their life, and then move to God's control over their life. From parent control to self-control to God's control. That means we have to get out of, we have to let go of control. From the moment you were born, you're starting to work at that. What we take is responsibility for people. We do that. We take it away from people. And if you treat your children as babies and you don't let them grow up, then you'll have to diaper them for the rest of your life, and you'll be filling the world with another codependent person. Luke chapter 16, 10 and 12 says this: whoever can be trusted with a little can also be trusted in a lot. And if you can't be trusted with little things that belong to someone else, who will give you things of your own? Kids respond to responsibility. Having talked to many parents over the years and seen this in my own life, I believe it's far better to err on the side of giving them too much responsibility than not trusting them at all. They're going to make massive mistakes anyway. But I think it's better to err on giving them too much, trusting them too much, rather than trusting them way too little. Your goal is to produce a person who walks not just under his own or her own self-control, but under God's control. Then lastly, number 7. You okay? You've got room for one more? Kids need consistency. Psalm 145, verses 13 and 17 says, "The Lord is faithful to all of his promises and fair in all that he does." Circle faithful and fair. That's what consistency is all about. As parents, we have to be faithful to our promises and fair in our decisions. If you're not consistent, if you're inconsistent, inconsistent parents can only produce insecure children, and then you produce bitter children. And there's no greater source of bitterness in people's lives than broken promises. At this point in the message, you may be starting to feel a little frustrated. Or having gone through the evaluation of these 7 areas, you may be feeling a little inadequate. You may even feel guilty, but that's not the purpose of my message, folks. It's not my goal to work up a bunch of guilt so that you'll realize how much you need to improve in these areas. The truth is this: there are no perfect parents. They don't exist on this planet. There are no perfect families. I haven't met one yet. There are no perfect people. You were raised by imperfect parents, and your parents were raised by imperfect parents, and they were raised by imperfect parents. There's never been a perfect person on earth except for the Lord Jesus Christ. And God loves to use imperfect people to get his job done. So as a result of today's message, if you're in this stage, the season of parenting, then I want you to not make it your goal to have a perfect family, because you're going to fail. But your goal should be to have a healthy family. Not a perfect family, a healthy family. My kids and my grandkids are not perfect. They never will be. I don't even expect them to be, but they're healthy. So how do you build a healthy family? It takes wisdom. It takes wisdom to have a good family, and it takes understanding to make it strong. Fill your mind with wisdom. Here's the problem. We've been talking about all these seasons of life: loneliness, self-doubt, and today the season of parenting. In every season, when you enter that season, you enter it as a novice. What did you know about parenting before you became a parent? Nothing. What prepared you to be a parent? Nothing, really, except maybe some things that you watched your parents do. There is so much that we get backwards. I know so much more about parenting now that my kids are adults, and they've left the house, and now they're raising grandkids. Why didn't I have all the wisdom when they were preschoolers? There's a good reason to have grandparents around. We start this season as novices, and while they're growing, we're growing too. Proverbs 24, verse 3 says this: "It takes wisdom to have a good family, and it takes understanding to make it strong." If you're in this season of parenting right now, take it serious. You can't be a parent in your spare time. People come to me all the time and say, I'm trying to figure out God's will for my life. My first question is, do you have any children at home? If you've got kids at home, then they are God's will for your life during this season. There will be other seasons for you to do other things. But if you've got kids at home, why are you doing something that you could be doing in another season? You made a commitment. Parenting involves more than just creating kids. It involves maturing kids. You're not going to have them forever. It's the season that they're in your home. So what's the secret of becoming a great parent? The secret is to become a godly person. That's it. Ask Jesus Christ into your life to be your Lord, your director, your guide. Ask him for wisdom from his book. Spend time in it every day. You may go to your children and ask them to pray for you that you could be a better parent. Some of you may need to go and apologize to your kids, make an act of reconciliation if there's some bitterness there. Let him get involved in the church and get connected in a triad where there are other people who are going through the same season that you are, or maybe a little further ahead that can give you wisdom. For those of you who are children, your parents aren't perfect. And when you grow up, you're not going to be perfect either as a parent. But they are God's will for your life today. They are God's will. God chose them to bring you into this world. You might want to consider what your attitude towards God, bringing those chosen people into your life, would be. Now that our parents are getting older, many of us are going into the reparenting phase. Tables are turned and we find ourselves parenting our parents. The Bible promises to bless your life. God will bless your life if you honor your father and your mother. Will you pray with me this morning? Maybe you would want to say a prayer like this. Jesus Christ, I want to be all that you want me to be. I want you to help me to influence the next generation by building those things into the lives of the children around me, whether I'm a parent or not. Help me to treat other people with compassion, to build up their confidence, to celebrate our differences, be consistent with others, and be what you want me to be. Help me to treat my children and others the way that you would. In your name we pray. Amen.